Ephesians chapter 5. Starting at verse number 6. Yep, hey, that's good, Molly. You did a good job. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Paul goes on to tell the Ephesians, let no man deceive you with these vain words. If someone tries to tell you something which is contrary to the word of God, don't listen to him. Period. Don't listen to him. God's word is an absolute. It does not lie. It does not fabricate. It does not pick and choose what it wants, and what it doesn't want. When Paul was talking to the church of Galatia, in Galatians 1, 8, and 9, it says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which is preached unto you, let him be accursed. If we, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. You know, here Paul is telling, if anyone is telling you vain or idle words, don't listen to them. You know, if someone tries to tell you homosexuality is a way of life, these are vain words. If someone tells you premarital sex is okay, these are vain words. If someone tells you adultery is okay because everyone else is doing it, these are vain words. If someone tells you cohabitation is okay, these are vain words. We need to understand what is right and what is wrong by the Word of God. You know, if we don't understand God's Word, how are we going to take and answer every man? We just aren't going to be able to do it. You know, we need to understand what is right in God's Word, and we need to understand the things that God says is wrong. We need to do the right. We need to stay away from the wrong. He goes on to say, for because of these things comes the wrath of God. What things is Paul talking about? He's talking about the things that we talked about the last couple weeks. Fornication, all uncleanliness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, whoremongers, unclean person, covetous man, who is an adulterer. You know, these who say homosexuality and gay lifestyle is all right in the eyes of God have never read, nor have they ever understood the Bible. They haven't. All they need to do is read the 20th chapter of Judges to see what God will, what happens with sexual perversion. All they need to do is read Genesis chapter 19 and see how God hates those who are who corrupt their own bodies. You know, God's wrath is going to be on those who disobey what He wants them to do. God hates sexual sin, and His wrath will come upon those who practice it. You know, how much plainer and simpler can it be than you and I will be punished for the things that we do wrong? Right? I mean, we're going to be punished. That's the way it is. If not now, later. One way or another, we are going to be punished for what we do. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We need to remember what kind of society was in the Ephesian lifestyle. You know, prostitution, believe it or not, was a way of life back then. The goddess Diana was worshipped. You know, it said that men had whores for and harlots for their pleasure, and they had wives for their children. That is a direct quote, believe it or not, out of one of the books I have. This is a way of life for them. You know, men were with men, women were with women. Paul tells them, not only are you not to listen to them, but you are better not partake with them. Stay away from them. Amen. You know, we need to teach our children it's wrong to go along with the crowd just because everybody else is doing it.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you what, that's one of the hardest things for teenagers today is to say no. They'll say no to their parents, but I'll tell you what, it's hard for them to say no to their peers. It is. They get on the internet and they're going over texting and everything else, and I'll tell you what, it's hard for them to say no. I'm not going to listen to this. Why? Because it's not godly. Boom. Verse 8 it says, "For ye are sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Paul's telling them they were once the same way as these other people. That's what he's telling them. Many of them were just as much of a reprobate as the rest of the people that were in Ephesus at that time. Now, sin is what? Darkness. Sin is darkness. You know, many walk in the darkness of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 through 11 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves, or of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Then he goes on to say, "And such were some of you." Wow. Paul was telling the church of Corinth, listen, you were no better than they were. However, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our living God. Listen, what we need to realize is this. You know, before we were saved, we were no different than every other person in the world. We were sinners, we were lost, we were stumbling, bumbling around, trying to take and, make a way for ourselves. I talked to a man this last week, and I said to him as well, I said, he was looking at the sign on my car. That sign on my car does a whole lot. I got the Ten Commandments on there. And he goes, "Wow, that's a pretty good sign." I said, "Yeah." I said, do you believe any of them?" He goes, "Well, yeah." He says, I said, "How many have you broken?" He said, "Not a one." I said, "Oh, really? You've never broken any of those commandments?" He goes, "No, I've never broken any of them." I said to him, I said, "Let's go down through them, shall we?" I said, "Do you go to church every Sunday?" He looked at me and he says, "Well, no." I said, "You're supposed to keep the Sabbath. You're supposed to keep one day separated for the Lord." I said, "Let's keep going down through here." I said, "Have you ever lied?" "Well, yeah, everybody lies." I said, "Well, he broke that one." I said, "Have you ever..." He says, "I've never done this one. Thou shalt not commit adultery." He says, "I've never cheated on my wife." I said, "Let me ask you something. I said, have you ever looked at another woman and thought, wow, she's hot?" He said, "Well, yeah, everybody does." I said, "Well, the Bible says that he who looks on a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." I said, "That one doesn't look too good either on your resume, does it?" And you know what? When we got all done with that, the Ten Commandments, he broke all of them. Every one of them. Every one of them he broke. And I looked at him and I said, "You broke them all." I said, "If you were standing before God right now and he said to you, 'Why should I let you into my heaven?' what would you tell him?" hung his head and he says, man, he said, I don't know. I led him through the plan of salvation. He didn't get saved, but at least he knows now how to get there. But, you know, people do not think what they're doing is wrong because they've never been taught that. He says, you know what? He says, I've never heard a lot of this that you're talking about. I said, well, I said, you need to read your Bible. He says, oh, yeah. I said, do you have a Bible? He says, yeah, I got one somewhere. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you never read your Bible. You know, and that's the way people are today. And you know, the younger generation is worse than the older generation. You know, people in the church of Corinth of that day were in darkness, just as the people in the church of Ephesus were in darkness. Now, we walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8 and verse 12 it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. He who walks with him shall never walk in darkness. If a person walks in the light, he will see no darkness. However, if a person stays in darkness, that's all you're going to see. You're not going to see light. You know, if a person walks in the light, he's going to want to stay in the light because he's going to see where he's going. You know, I'll tell you what. I love being a Christian because I walk in the light. I know where I'm going. I don't have to stumble and bumble over things that are in front of me because it's dark. How sad it is that we can have light to guide us, yet so many don't follow that light. They would rather walk in darkness. They'd rather walk in the darkness and stumble over things than to walk in the light. John 1:5 says this, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, think about that for just a minute. Why is it people like to walk in the darkness? Have you ever wondered about criminals? Why is it there's more crime committed after the sun goes down than when the sun is up? Why is that? People love darkness rather than light. They think that their sin will be covered by darkness. And that's why people love darkness rather than light. You know, why is it nightclubs always run at night and not during the day? Oh, wait a minute. People work during the day. No, that's not it at all. Because they're evil, and evil is done in darkness. You know, have you ever thought of a lot of these places in Phoenix and Scottsdale and stuff? You know, they run after dark. Why? Because they're evil. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he says, you know, he says, have you ever wondered why these fortune tellers, horoscope places, and that, they always run at night instead of it during the day? I said, yeah, because they run on darkness, not on light. And you know, he looked at me and goes, wow, he said, I never thought about that way, but he says, you're absolutely right. You know, what we need to realize is this. Once we're saved, we walk in the light of the world, not the darkness. Verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Here Paul is using the Spirit to indicate what kind of life in Christ we should be having. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Paul used a little different wording in Ephesians as he did to the church of Galatia. But the theme is the same. The theme in these two scriptures are the same. Goodness means virtue or benevolence. Righteousness means equality of character. Truth means to be true. And there are no new fruits of the Spirit, but the same in a different form. They're the same fruits of the Spirit, but they're in just a little bit different form. And we need to take and understand that. Verse 10, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We are to walk in the light, opposed to walking in the darkness of this world. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye are sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus is the light of the world, and he who walks with him walks in light. And we need to understand that. If we're walking with the Lord, we're walking in light. A person who walks in darkness walks after the things of this world. Sin is darkness. Men love the darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. If a person is born again, blood washed, sanctified from this world, why do we want to walk in the darkness of this world? Why do we want to stumble and bumble around in the sin of this world if we have the Lord Jesus Christ? The word prove means to test or discern. We are to test or discern what is acceptable unto the Lord. That are the things which we do acceptable to the Lord? Is what we're doing going to bring honor and glory to the Lord, or is it going to bring anger and disappointment to Him? Are we going to grieve, or are we going to quench the Holy Spirit with what we're doing? If what you're doing, if Jesus would walk up to you while you're doing it, would you be embarrassed? You know, when I was growing up, my dad was a very wise man. And he said to me, he said, I want you to think of this. If you were sitting in a bar with a beer in front of you, and Jesus would walk up alongside you, would he be happy to see you there? Would he get on the bar stool alongside you and join you? Or would you be embarrassed where you were? You know, we need to test or try the things which we're going to do before we do them to see if the Lord would approve or disapprove of what we're going to do. You know, if I was to walk into a bar and order a beer, which I would never do, but would I feel uncomfortable if Jesus walked in and sat down alongside me? I think I probably would. You know, if I used language that was off color and Jesus walked up, would I feel guilty about the words I was using? If I was telling a joke and the joke was a little bit off color and Jesus was standing right there listening, would I feel embarrassed? Well, you know what? Jesus is with us all the time. If we're saved, the Holy Spirit's with us, and so is Jesus. We need to be so careful where we go, what we do, and how we do it. You know, we sing a song in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you handle. Oh, be careful, little self, where you go. You know, for the Father up above is looking down in love. You know, oh, be careful, whatever, what you do. And, you know, I feel we need to be so careful what we do. Verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Paul uses some very stern words here. He says, have no fellowship. That's putting it pretty plain. That's putting it real blank. To have fellowship with someone means to share in company with them. You know, to have a close personal relationship with that person, to be best friends. You know, it's hard for me as a pastor to have fellowship with a lot of people because of their lifestyle. You know, it is. It's hard for me to have friends with people in the world because of their lifestyle. You know, we're perceived to others to be as those who we hang out with. And I preach this to our teenagers all the time. You are perceived with who you hang out with. If you're hanging out with kids that are doing dope, guess what? People are going to look at you and say, well, he probably does do dope too. You know, if you hang out with somebody who's a shoplifter, guess what? They're going to think you do too. You know, if we hang out with the town drunk, guess what? People are going to think that's who we are. You know, if we go to known drug houses and hang out with those who are there, guess what? People are going to think that. If we hang out in break rooms telling dirty stories, just like everyone else does, what kind of a testimony do we have? There was a man one time that got saved. And I mean, he was genuinely saved. He was on fire for the Lord. He had been a recovered alcoholic. He had went without a drink for almost a year. And man, I'll tell you what, he was saved. He was on fire for the Lord. And he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to win every one of them drunks that I used to hang out with to the Lord. So you know what he did? He started hanging out in front of the bar, hanging out tracks. Everybody come in. It wasn't long and he was inside the bar. And the smell of the bar. And it wasn't long and somebody came up and put a beer in front of him. And he went right back into alcoholism again. Why? Because he went back to what he was saved out of. You know, we need to be so careful with where we go, what we do, and how we handle ourselves. You know, a person who's not saved cannot have any work which will be counted for him as righteousness. Paul goes on to say, unfruitful works of darkness. Matthew 7:16 says, "Ye know, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes on thorns or figs of thistles?" We need to understand what fruit is. If a vine produces grapes, it has new fruit, right? If a corn stalk produces more corn, it has more new fruit. If an orange tree produces oranges, it has new fruit. If a Christian produces more Christians, he has produced more fruit. You know, I also believe if a person helps in fruit being produced, he also is producing like fruit. Come up here a minute, Jacob. Now, if you take and think about this for a minute, come over here. All right, if I lead Jacob to the Lord, Jacob is my fruit. He is my fruit. Okay? Now, if Jacob would take and lead Chuck to the Lord, that would be Jacob's fruit. However, that would also be fruit of my fruit. Do you understand that? Now, if Chuck would lead Brother Bob to the Lord, that would be Chuck's fruit, but it would also be Jacob's fruit and my fruit. Now, if Bob would lead someone else to the Lord, guess what? That would be fruit of... We'd all be a bunch of fruitcakes, right? No. But that's the way it happens. Is whoever you lead to the Lord, if they lead somebody else to the Lord, guess what? That's fruit of your fruit. And it's going to be counted for you in heaven. Thanks, Incidental. But what we need to realize is this. We need to realize that we have to have fruit, in order for us to continue to reproduce. Now, how can a person who is not saved lead someone else to the Lord? They can't. There's no way. None. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. You know, all the unsaved person wants to do is keep that person on the voyage that he's on to a very hot place. You know, an unsaved person doesn't want somebody to get saved. They don't. Because if you take and think about an unsaved person, okay, they're going to go to the bars. Well, okay, if Chuck is friends with an unsaved person, he's unsaved, guess what? He goes to the bars with him. So he doesn't want Chuck to get saved because he just lost his drinking buddy. You know, a person who is not saved cannot have any works which will be counted for him for righteousness. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know, so many times people ask me, well, do you really believe what you say? Yes, I do. 100%. We're going to go to verse 12 and we'll be done. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. If you look back at the sins that Paul was used in verses 3 through 6, and he says in verse 7, we are not to be partakers with them. In this verse, he says, it is a shame to even speak of the things which they do. If homosexuals feel that they are doing what they're doing is right, they're dead wrong, according to the Bible. If people feel their sin, which they are committing in secret, is okay, they are dead wrong. When Bill Clinton said his private life was his alone, he was wrong. I hate to say it that way. Mr. Clinton may have done a lot of things in darkness, but they were still sin. You know, it should be a shame to anyone who feels what he did was appropriate behavior. You know, people today do things in their homes in secret, feeling that no one will ever know. They watch inappropriate movies on their DVDs. They watch off-colored movies on their TVs. They listen to music, which is not God-edifying. They have affairs with others who are not their spouses. They do drugs, smoke dope, taking into their bodies things which shouldn't be there. Paul said it is a shame to even discuss these things with them. Don't listen to them tell about how some stupid movie that they watch. Don't listen to them tell about their drunkenness. Don't listen to them about their drug party. Don't listen to them about their adulterous affairs. We need to keep our minds and hearts pure before God. We need to keep all the trash out. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you.